Excuse me, this is the operator. Just need to inform all participants today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect your line at this time, and you may begin.
Thank you very much, Lori. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the BC Members Call taking place on the 24th of October 2013.
Yes, thank you.
On the call today, we have Jimson Olusui, Elisa Cooper, Angie Gray, Gabriella Slack, Chris Chaplow, Steve Del Bianco, and Jim Baskin. We have apologies from Aisha Hassan, Marilyn Cade, David Ferris, Phil Corwin, John Berard, Stefan Van Gelder, Barbara Wanner, Andrew Mack, and Sarah Deutsch. And Richard Friedman has just joined the call, by the way. Thank you very much, and over to you, Elisa.
Thanks, Benedetta. Well, there's a couple items that I want to cover and then turn to really a policy update and a bit of a discussion. But the first thing that I want to talk about is our upcoming meeting in Buenos Aires and exactly what we should be spending our time on there. It seems like clearly this whole issue around the Montevideo statement is just a huge issue. And I'm scheduled to talk to Fadi next Thursday as the chair of the business constituency. So I sent out just earlier today a request for questions to be posed to Fadi, and I've already received some, and so that will be very helpful. And I've been told that that call will be recorded, so it will be made publicly available. The other attendees on that call are the other leaders from the other constituencies. So I think it'll be a very interesting call. And for those of you who are not totally familiar with what this Montevideo statement and what is everyone so concerned about, it's the fact that there's a call for greater internationalization, both with ICANN and mostly with the IANA function. And the IANA function is the function that actually does the technical management of adding to the root zone new GTLDs and management of TLDs in the root zone. And right now, the U.S. government has a contract for doing that service. And what's being called for is essentially to internationalize that. And I would assume that means taking it away from the United States. And so I think there's a ton of ramifications for this. And I don't know what I still think about all. I mean, I'm very concerned about it. So I'm very curious to see what Fadi has to say, because I think this all came as a surprise that he was moving forward with this. When he made a statement, I had no idea, and I think others had no idea that he was on this path. So we'll have to see, but I would be curious to hear what thoughts are from others and what kinds of questions you would like me to ask him. Or just any thoughts at all about or questions maybe others might be able to answer. Steve.
Thanks, Elisa. I submitted a post this morning to Circle ID. It's similar to the interview I did in IDG last week.
Thank you.
I really think you need to see the IANA contract as a tether that holds ICANN to the affirmation of commitments. The affirmation of commitments, for all its imperfections, is the only document we have to hold ICANN accountable and transparent and to hold it to doing reviews and then implementing the recommendations of the reviews. I can't even imagine how we hold ICANN accountable if they walk away from the affirmation, and they can. And the only reason ICANN stays in the affirmation is they knew that if they walked away, the U.S. government wouldn't give them the IANA contract. That's the leverage. Those are tied inexplicably. And Fadi knows this. So for them to take IANA and assert that it's the world's decision, not the USG's decision, allows ICANN to walk away from the affirmation. So whether you think that's a good or bad thing, you have to evaluate it in the light of what world we would be moving to, not just the world we're moving away from, but what world are we moving to. I think it's ridiculous to sever the ICANN-IANA leverage relationship and accountability unless we know the new accountability structure that we're going into. And the biggest risk in that accountability structure is that if it's governmentally managed and controlled, like the UN or ITU, any of you who've been to a UN or ITU meeting realize that the private sector sits in the back of the room, they can watch, but they don't have a flag on their desk, and they don't get to vote at all, ever. So all of us who build the Internet, build the content, the civil society that cares about freedoms of expression and safety, there is no vote in that regime. So look at Circle ID. It should be up in about an hour, and I have a rather long post in there. And anxious to be participating, at least on that call if I can, if the officers are permitted. But if not, most of my concerns are expressed in that post. Thanks.
So we received an email just today where they asked for just the chairs. I actually asked if all of the BC members could join and was politely turned down on that request. And then today I just saw something that asked just that the chairs attend. So, Steve, what do you, like?
Yeah, my post is called that, quote, unquote, rethinking ICANN is not a one-man job.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. Let's have a conversation. Let's understand the implications and know where we're going.
Yeah.
So I will refer you to that post. And if you wish, I could probably turn it into some specific questions you could put to Fadi. But undoubtedly, there'll be questions that your fellow other chairs will probably ask as well. Fadi is playing defense right now. He's trying to walk back a little bit from the statements that have been made. And yet the cat is out of the bag, right?
Yeah.
These governments are now, as Marilyn says, the blue helmets are walking around together. And I think that they consider Fadi one of their own at this point. It's going to be hard for him to walk away from that.
Just in your personal opinion, like, what would be the worst-case scenario that you could see? Like, could it be possible that whoever takes over the IANA contract would refuse, for instance, to add, you know, .sex to the root zone because they find that objectionable?
Very, very unlikely. Very unlikely, in my opinion. I believe the most likely thing is the affirmation is a document that currently only one government signed. Only the U.S. government signed the affirmation, thereby claiming that it pledges to stay in the GAC and to support the multi-stakeholder model.
Mm-hmm.
If IANA contract's gone with 120 days notice,
yeah,
the intergovernmental entity running ICANN will simply cancel this U.S. government bilateral agreement. It would be inconceivable that they would keep it up there. They might replace it with something else, and we might like that something else, but we have to have an opportunity to have input on that. So the worst-case scenario is the affirmation disappears within 120 days. All the reviews are done. There is no more affirmation of commitments review on who is, no review on the new TLD program, no accountability and transparency review, because the only reason those things are there is because the affirmation required them.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So we lose those reviews. They're just gone. There are no metrics on the new GTLD program. And more than likely, we'd continue to go to ICANN meetings. There'd be lip service to community input, like there is today, lip service. But ultimately, you have to believe the GAC would control what decisions get made, and there'd be no review process to challenge that.
Thanks, Steve. Chris?
That'll brighten your day.
Yeah, I got that. I'll be honest. I did send our letter that we developed on the singular and plural issue, and I kind of felt a little bit like I was just, I don't want to say that we're on the Titanic, but I felt like I was rearranging some deck chairs when there was significantly bigger issue that we should.
Yeah, but ironically, you're right, but the deck chairs do matter in this respect. The governments who covet a greater role share our concern that the singular-plural confusion
yeah,
is.
Yeah, right.
So at least on that issue, you're putting the chairs in the right place.
Yeah. I just feel like this is so potentially... I don't want to say catastrophic, but anyway. Chris?
Thank you, Elisa. Just before I suggest my question, I just wanted to just ask Steve. From my perspective, the affirmation of commitment sort of came out of nowhere. Maybe there was something going on before I was really involved in ICANN. And in that, have you got any perspective on that? And what was there before? If there hadn't been an affirmation, what would there have been? The thing that you're seeing is so important, and I agree with you.
Right. So a quick history lesson. When the U.S. created the Internet and created ICANN, it said in the white paper, let's have a memorandum of understanding. People called it the MOU 11 years ago. It said it calls for a gradual transition so that ICANN would be a fully internationalized multi-stakeholder decision-making model. and that turned into a joint partnership agreement, or a JPA, and that was a document whereby the U.S. continued to commit to a transition and wanted to hold ICANN to certain milestones on the accountability and transparency front before it would be given full independence. And then in September of 2009, the final JPA expired, and over the course of 2 months, Paul Levins and the Commerce Department here worked very hard to write the affirmation of commitments. And like you, I think it's a brilliant document. It affirms the government's commitment to be in ICANN, and it affirms ICANN's commitment to serve global public interest and do these reviews. It is, however, cancelable by either party, and unfortunately, no other governments took my challenge when I handed out pens and said, please sign the affirmation. Show that you, too, want to support the ICANN multi-stakeholder model and hold ICANN accountable. That happens at a higher level of pay in diplomatic circles, so they weren't ready to do that. So it replaced the MOU and the JPA. It was really it's as close as anything to a constitution for ICANN. And absent that, all you have are bylaws and articles, and the constitution would have to be replaced with something else if we're lucky.
Thanks, Steve. Alisa, I'll ask my original question. Well, the question would be a suggestion to ask Fadi, would be why he felt he had to sign the Montevideo Agreement now and not after the Buenos Aires meeting where he'd had to consult with the community. Thanks.
That's a great question. Any other questions or thoughts around this particular issue? Angie.
Yeah, this is Angie Graves. I like some expectation set. So if I were to have a conversation with Fadi, I'd like to hear a little bit more elaboration of what's to come in the near term and what his expectations and goals are with this direction.
Okay, great. So I've taken notes on both of those questions, but if I could just ask both of you to quickly send me an email so I capture it exactly. I'm not sure I'll have the transcript by the time the call happens. That would be super helpful. Any other thoughts or questions before we move on? Oh, and I see on the chat, Gabby says that you'll also check with the Instituto. All right. I would like, obviously I think this will be a topic for discussion, kind of depending on what we hear next Thursday from Fadi in terms of what we discuss in our meeting, although I'm not necessarily I guess we can discuss what approach we might take or how we might react to what we learn from the call on Thursday and have that as part of our discussion in Buenos Aires. But are there any other topics that people would like to spend time on in Buenos Aires? And I see Angie's hand raised, but I'm not sure if that's new or from before.
From before, dropping
okay.
Now, thanks.
Are there other areas that people would like to spend time on as a group while we're all together face-to-face?
I'm going to raise my hand again. This is Angie
okay.
Graves.
I'm glad.
Well, Chris and I had a conversation a little bit earlier this week, and Chris, forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn, but we both realized that this is the last meeting before any kind of financial chair transition.
Okay.
So that would be worthwhile to touch on at least. Meaning open issues, things that any incoming financial chair would want to be aware of in the BC as a whole.
Okay. Is that something, Chris, you would be okay with?
Yes, I can do a short presentation, sort of fairly open thoughts, ideas, where we're going, that, that sort of thing. I think that sounds, yeah.
Great. Other ideas, things that people want to discuss, maybe around new GTLDs, maybe around rights protection mechanisms, maybe about privacy proxy abuse, maybe around the new GTLD directory service or GTLD directory services, formerly known as WHOIS.
Lisa, this is Anjali. I think I accidentally logged off of your Adobe, so I can't raise my hand.
Oh, no worries.
I'm going to try to get back on. Sorry about that. So I would like to just say something about the proposed outreach project. Maybe I could just give a little presentation there. Doesn't have to be long, about some thoughts that we've had, the group that we're working with on outreach
okay.
to businesses, because that way we can try to get more input in person
yep.
while we're there.
Yep, that sounds good.
If you have time. If not, you know, you can get it off the agenda, but if you're looking for topics.
Yeah, no, I think it would be good to spend a little time to talk about outreach and for the entire group in terms of, you know, we've had some, you know, I'd say we've had, you know, good additional membership, you know, in this last period, but certainly it could be a lot better. And also just outreach in general, not necessarily focused so much on membership, but kind of like what you're concerned with in terms of getting small to medium businesses even aware of what's going on and what the issues are.
Right, and we've been working on, Gabby and I, and also some others, have been working on some slides that we could maybe put together for this first Buenos Aires conference for the Latin American outreach efforts.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe even like the fact sheets, and we had also talked about translating the most recent newsletter and some information about the BC into Spanish and Portuguese. So I'm hoping that's happening. I haven't followed through, but I'll do that before the meeting.
Okay. Benedetta, are we gonna make some updates to the fact sheet and have that translated as well? I know Benedetta just sent out some timing for articles for our newsletter, but I didn't see anything, Benedetta,
yes,
about this.
Yes, that is the aim.
Okay, so we'll also make some minor. I think the edits to the fact sheet have to do with. I think it mentions Durban. And needs to be.
Exactly. It's mainly about making it more aimed at Latin American businesses rather than African businesses.
Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to look at that, too, if anyone wants another pair of eyes on it.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So just send it around, and then, Benedetta, you're going to get that translated then? Or do we need to do anything?
No, that's fine. We will take care of that.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, that's all I have, I said.
Okay.
Sorry.
any other ideas? And if you want to think about it and then just send them to the list, that's fine, too. and then I guess the final thing worth mentioning, and I'm sure you've probably all seen this, but I feel like it's worth a mention, is that, you know, ICANN has now delegated the first four new GTLD registries. They're all IDNs. Even though they've now been delegated, we actually do not yet have timelines for them, but I'm sure that will be coming out soon, and I'm sure they're all anxious to start either their notice period or their sunrise period soon. But I know that businesses are obviously very curious and concerned and are kind of going to be watching those carefully.
And Elisa, if you could please, this is Steve, I don't think we will see any significant number of domain collisions with these. These are four IDN
yes.
DLDs, and we are very unlikely to see a collision between an ASCII internal domain name and an IDN that starts with XN dash dash. So it, at least that won't be a problem in these four.
Yeah. I think even with these IDNs, they did identify anywhere between a couple hundred to maybe it was like 600 lookups that have ever occurred or that occurred in the day in the life studies. So those names that had been looked up that weren't like so there were some like computer generated lookups that happened, and those were not
Google Chrome.
Yeah, those will not be added to the blacklist, but the others will. So those will not be available for registration at the time that the registry is open. Those will be put on reserve names list. And you're right. I'm sure that will not be any kind. I would hope that would not be an issue in terms of collisions. All right. That is kind of all I wanted to cover. I actually sent out an update from John Berard about what's going on at the council and what's coming up in their next meeting. And I don't know if, Steve, you'd like me to cover that in John's absence, or if you would like to cover that, probably falls more under policy, but I'm good either way.
Is it your, this is Steve, is it your desire that we walk through John's memo or walk through the council agenda? What's your preference?
Probably just walk through his memo.
Excuse me, Lisa, this is Ron. I'm just getting in late. I apologize for interrupting. I'm trying to get into Adobe Connect. I've been on hold in the waiting mode for some time. Just wonder if someone might check that. Thank you.
So you were on the conference line waiting for the operator to answer?
Lisa, Chris here. No, I think he said Adobe Connect. Probably Benny has to let him in.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. And look, he's gone anyway. Carry on.
I actually see him already on the AC room.
Okay. At any rate, Steve, yeah, I was thinking we would just kind of briefly walk through his email that he sent. And I'm happy to do that. Or if you want it.
Happy to do it. And
okay.
The agenda's up. Again, this is October the 31st, a week from today, a council call. They will consider a vote of the PDP on thick who is. And this is, of course, important because it helps to move the two big registries that use thin who is. That's Common Net. It helps to start that move from thin who is to thick who is. It helps to move to a more standardized who is regime, but it is one that's likely to be significantly changed as we move to the directory services, which Susan and the expert working group are working on. There's another motion that's alongside that, which is to start a PDP on translating and transliterating the information that's in WHOIS. That's a complement to what happens in thick WHOIS, and therefore local language could be included in the WHOIS database. And Zahid seconded that motion, so the BC will support it. There's another motion on any questions on that?
I think, Steve, we should just remind members, we did write a set of comments, and we've written many comments on for support of thick WHOIS. And just a reminder what thick WHOIS versus thin WHOIS is all about. When it's a thick WHOIS, that means all of the ownership information is held by their registry. And today, for Common Net, that's not the case. The registry verified doesn't hold that information. Today, what happens is it's actually the registrar, and there's, hundreds and hundreds of registrars. They hold the full contact information, and so moving to thick helps to ensure a greater consistency.
And all the new GTLDs use the thick WHOIS model.
Right. Thanks, Steve.
Another motion is one about process. The council itself has long had a temporary committee on improvements to how the GNSO council operates, and they want to move it to a structured or standing committee so that it's a permanent committee. So that's a vote that councilors make based on their views as to whether this committee is constantly going to have things to look at, and therefore it needs to be more permanent in nature. And to me, it's not a policy question. It's more of a process one. And I'm very happy to defer to Zahid and John, since they're on the council, to know whether it needs a permanent committee as opposed to temporary. Are there any strongly held views by BC members on this call that we want to advise John and Zahid about? Great. Let me go to the next one.
Steve, I'm sorry. It's Ron.
Go ahead, Ron.
Yes, I'm actually the chair of the SCI on behalf of the BC, and just a few words to what's happened here. Our charter now, as the SCI has been in operation since the last GNSO review, and all of the implementation issues that came up, and if there were things that were not moving smoothly or there were some complications of some sort, we were responsible for dealing with making sure those things got all the rough edges knocked off and operate smoothly, we would send them back to council. Over time, the question was whether or not we should still be operational or not. So we had a long debate within the committee, and we ultimately took it back to the council for their review, and it was determined they would like to have us continue or have the SCI continue as a standing committee to continue the work that it's doing. So this new charter really reflects that. And the second element is whether or not the standing committee should be operational on the rule of unanimous voting, unanimous consensus, or whether it should be the next level down in the five levels of consensus, which is where one or two may oppose, but it will pass on the basis of having majority. And that's the issue that's being looked at right now within council. They'll make that determination and then finalize the charter. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for serving on those improvement committees. There's also going to be a motion on approving a charter for a PDP to look at privacy and proxy provider accreditation. This is something that was carved out of the new registrar accreditation agreement negotiations, and the BC has a pending draft comment on this accreditation process that was authored by Elisa and Susan Kawaguchi. Elisa, I think that you're just putting some final touches on that, and we'll circulate it for member review since that comment period closes the 13th of November. There will be a vote on the charter itself, and I believe that the charter is close enough to what we need to study that the PDP charter should be approved, and I imagine our counselors will support it. Are there any comments on the charter for the PDP on privacy and proxy accreditation? Finally, there's a discussion, and John Berard believes that most of the time at council will be on these discussions. The first one is on protecting at the top and second level things like Red Cross and the Olympics and hundreds of other intergovernmental, non-governmental organizations. That comment is due November the 1st. We found no BC volunteers to pull together the text, so the BC will submit a list of views on those protections that Elisa and I initially drafted, and I'll try to get it in over the weekend. The other hot topic of discussion is the singular and plural PLDs, also broadly known as the string confusion discussion. We tend to focus on the singular plural as the most blatant example of how these panels and then the arbitrators afterwards are reaching inconsistent results, all of which was covered in the letter that Elisa sent in to ICANN on Monday. There is no motion on that, but it should be pretty exciting. John notes in his email that all of us can dial in and listen. You don't dial in on the phone. You just use the go to the council agenda, and there's an MP3 audio capability. You can listen, but you can't interrupt or talk at the council meeting. If you miss it because of the time zone issues, it's at 7 a.m. Eastern time. You can always dial in at a different time and listen to the MP3 once it's archived a day or so after the council meeting's over. Elisa, that's all that John had in his update. I'll stop there.
Thanks, Steve. Should we move on to, unless there are any questions from anyone, should we move on to our policy discussion? Seeing that there are no questions, I think we should talk about some of the upcoming comments that are comment periods that are coming up, and also just recap where we are in terms. I know you submitted a comment today, and we've
right. There are four of them. I can go through them quickly for you, Elisa.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Great. The first was on the public interest commitments made by a registry operator in the new TLDs. These public interest commitments, or PICs, are subject to dispute resolution when anyone claims that the registry isn't following its public interest commitments. This was a hot topic for the BC. We really did pioneer the work of adding the PIC commitments because we were concerned that registries or new TLD applicants wouldn't feel any obligation to uphold promises they made when they put their application in. Gabby and Anjali took the lead on researching and drafting those comments. And we circulated them for the full 14 days and submitted them and finalized them today. So those are the PIC-DRP. They've been filed. I circulated to the BC this morning. Again, Gabby and Anjali, thank you very much for your work on that. A second is the Privacy and Proxy Accreditation Service comment. It's only a two-pager at this point. Elisa and Susan did the initial drafting. And I imagine Elisa and Susan have something suitable to circulate to all of you in the next day. We'll have until 13th of November to get that turned around. The Intergovernmental Organization, Non-Governmental Organization, that's the IGO-NGO that I spoke of earlier. I will only submit the BC comments as a list of yeses and nos with some minor explanation, and I'll submit that over the weekend. Now we have a new comment coming up, the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, second edition. We call it the ATRT2. Their comment period just opened because they've circulated their draft recommendations on the second round. This is a review that's required under the affirmation of commitments that we talked about earlier on today's call. The first two items that I think will deserve attention is that they want to assess whether ICANN properly implemented the recommendations of the four previous review teams, and those include the WHOIS review team and the ATRT1 from 2 years ago. They also want to talk about better ways to run these reviews because they really are a great deal of work for the people that are involved, and it's difficult to get the community input that everyone expected since the community is stretched a bit thin. What do they call it? Volunteer fatigue. These comments are just opened up, and they're usually something that the BC is vocal on. So we have a small number of BC members on the call today. I won't put a lot of pressure to look for volunteers. If anybody wants to volunteer for this, please put up your hand. Otherwise, I will circulate an email to the BC highlighting the fact that this public comment is now open and we need some volunteers to draft BC comments. Lisa, that's all I've got there. Happy to take questions.
So just as a reminder, we are scheduled to meet in Buenos Aires with the ATRT2 as part of our CSG meeting. So they will probably be asking us our perspectives, and I'm sure by that time some of us will have read the report and we will be working on our comments. But we will have some time to actually interact with them face-to-face in Buenos Aires. Anjali, I see your hand's raised.
Steve, what is the time frame for having to do these comments? What's the deadline of having a draft that would have to circulate to the BC?
Let me bring that up for you right now. The comment period, the first period closes November the 22nd. So figure about November the 8th would be the day we would circulate to the BC so that we'd have our 14 days and get it in on schedule. So there's quite a bit of time to assess and draft those comments. November the 8th, circulated to the BC. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll volunteer. I don't know if anyone wants to help me out on that. I have volunteered. I've put on the committee to do the next review for the consumer metrics evaluation of the new TLD program. So I've I've been notified by ICANN that I'm on that review team, by the way.
Oh, congratulations.
So you know.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Thank you, Angelie. That's great news. And thank you for volunteering on taking a look at the ATRT, too. Back to you, Elisa.
So I actually do not have any other topics for us to discuss. We definitely have time to discuss any other business. So does anyone have any other topic that they would like to cover or discuss? I see Chris's hands up, and I see Anjali, but I think that was from before. Chris?
Sorry, I'll take it off.
Yeah, no worries.
Thanks, Lisa. Chris Chaplow here. It was just to ask and really remind us of where we were up to with the charter changes, the BC charter changes. Is that something that's already programmed for Buenos Aires, or is it happening outside? Thanks.
So, you know, that has definitely stalled a little bit. I think where we last left, we were talking in terms of, like, what we've actually edited in the charter itself had to do with term length. There's been also some discussion among some members about what, if anything, we should do to make sure our membership criteria is in line with our objectives. And so we could discuss membership criteria in particular if that's something that people are interested in. I think there's clearly a blurring of the lines because you've got, you know, myself included. I mean, you know, we participate in the contracted parties house. My colleague, Matt Serlin, was last year the chair of the registrars. So, I mean, there's clearly some blurring where you've got membership of companies across multiple constituencies in multiple houses. So I'm not sure if that's something people would like to take on for discussion because I think it's a pretty complex issue. At the same time, like I said, I feel like there's some other, you know, major issues going on related to just the longevity and ICANN as we know it today. So I would be curious to hear from others if that's something that we would like to take on. Ron, I see Chris's hands up, but I think that's from before.
Thanks, Lisa. Just speaking to the charter, indeed, my recollection is that Marilyn, in one of the recent calls, said she was going to come back with another draft of the most recent charter and pulling in some of the elements that had been discussed on previous calls. So if I'm not mistaken, that's where it stands, and maybe we want to give her a nudge just to see where she's at with that. But I did understand that at one point she said she would take on working on some of the draft, the next iteration, if you will, of the charter.
Yeah. I recall that as well.
Yeah. And then the second thing is having just come off the Prudentials Committee, it's quite clear that we're working with a very outdated charter relevant to what's going on within ICANN here in the 21st century. We're 48 meetings in, and that charter was developed more than 48 meetings ago. It's gone through some upgrades along the way, but it does need a good long look. So it's good that we take the time now to get that done. And if we could put some time forward for the Buenos Aires meeting when we're face-to-face, I think we could probably get a lot of work done on that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My personal opinion is that when we looked at the charter in our last meeting, you know, I think it was too much to take on to try to look at the entire charter. I mean, I think we made some good progress and we discussed some areas that were problematic, that were kind of easy to solve, and I think we've got some progress there. But this issue about membership, I think, is one issue that's multifaceted and, you know, probably enough to focus on, you know, at the meeting without sort of also looking at all the other pieces. So I'm happy to include that. Any other questions, thoughts, comments, things that people would like to raise in today's call? Chris?
Thank you. It's Chris again, but I'm actually speaking for Gabriella on the chat, and she wanted to share out loud that there's going to be a webinar in Spanish next week organized by ICANN and E-Instituto. She's going to circulate an invite targeted at Latin America, and it's with the support of herself, who will be a speaker, together with Tony Harris from the ISPs, Ariel Manoff from IPC, and Rodrigo de la Parra. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Gabby.
Gabby and Chris, it's Steve. Let me invite you. The Circle ID post is up, and let me invite you to run it through your favorite translator. Put it in Portuguese and Spanish if you can, and so we can help to broaden the alarm at what these recent changes in Montevideo really mean for the private sector.
Anything else from anyone? No? All right, then. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining. I know that we had met just last week, so I think we're fairly well caught up. And I do, just for the record, I really appreciate everyone who's at the Bali meeting, all the information that they're providing to us. It's very useful to hear their perspectives, and I think it'll be very interesting when I speak with Fadi next week, and, of course, I'll share my thoughts with you after that meeting and the recording as well. So with that, unless there is anything else from anyone, I will wish you a good day, and we shall talk soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Alisa.
Thanks, Alisa.
Thanks, all.
Steve.